We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, over there, helping you, helping us, helping humanity get ready for week four, my man, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I'm not going to lie. I'm not at 100% right now.
No?
So I take my voice and preparation, both in terms of learning what I want to say on the show and also my body and, you know, my throat. I do two podcasts, so this is my instrument. This is my means of a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll drink tea during the day. I stay hydrated, as everybody knows. But one of the things I like to do as well, I recorded an episode of Sports Wars, also available on Wondery, yesterday. Starting a new season, Tyson Holyfield, but I'll tend to, throughout the day, just suck on a cough drop. You know, keep the throat lubricated.
You go Ricola, Ludens.
It's a Ricola, not a sponsor, but very good if they are interested.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, I have a cough drop, just going, my normal thing. And I try to be an adult. We try to talk about how to be a semblance of an adult on this show. And here I am with a cut tongue via shards of cough drop. I got a little too aggressive, started biting down, and I literally drew blood.
Wow.
I drew blood from shards of a cough drop. So if I'm below my normal ability today, that's probably why.
So you're in our version of concussion protocol today.
I'm in the throat tent currently.
The throat tent.
The throat tent.
Well,
That aside,
that awkward introduction aside, welcome all to the Solid Verbal. I'm Ty, he's Dan. We're going to go through college football week four here momentarily. Week four is a biggin'. I have some things that I need to discuss with you regarding week four, not just games, but stuff surrounding the ceremonies of week four.
Yeah.
But before we get there, solidverbal@gmail.com, as always, is the email address, or you can call in at 408-VERBAL-1. That's 408 837-2251. We call it the reverb line. And when we get dozens upon hundreds of phone calls each and every weekend, we cut those up bright and early on a Sunday morning. We make them part of our Sunday recap show. We call them the reverb. So call on in as you're watching all these big games on Saturday. Let us know what is on your mind. We are also on Twitter at Solid Verbal, on Facebook, on Instagram. And there is a subreddit, again, started by Verballers, for Verballers. You can find that at solidverbal.reddit.com. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to the show. You can do so on Apple, on Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, you name it. We are all over the place. Anywhere you like to listen to shows, you can find the Solid Verbal.
Yes. Also, is there any news that we want to get to? Anything that jumps out to you? Do you want to talk about California? Is that something for a twos cruise kind
of? I think that's a twos cruise kind of thing. I was going to say, I think we already covered the breaking news of the day with your tongue laceration.
The tongue. Oh, my God. Also, we haven't done this yet, and I feel like this week is the first time we should probably dip into it. Do we have a nickname for Saturday?
Oh, Dan, that's where I wanted to go with it.
This is simpatico. It's simpatico Saturday is what it is, Ty, because we're on the same page. We've been running routes all summer. So when it comes to the season, it's just, I know where you're going to be. You know where I'm going to be. This is great.
I have simpatico Saturday is a strong entrant.
Yeah, not for this week, but
for one week.
I'm storing it away.
So this is typically what we do once we get to October. I believe that has been the MO for the last two seasons of college football, because again, as you get into October, you start getting into conference play. We see networks start to get a little cute with how they're tagging a specific Saturday of college football. So Separation mm-hmm. Saturday, for example, has been a big one. We've seen a Show Me Saturday before mm-hmm. on ESPN. We've come up with some interesting names.
Did we do Sangre Saturday once?
We did a Smilodon, yeah. I remember.
Smilodon Saturday, yeah.
Which is a name for a prehistoric saber-toothed tiger.
Yep.
But we have typically gone above and beyond, and maybe a little weirder than the norm, in naming our Saturdays. And I agree with you that this one's locked, loaded, and we need to name it.
I just have Someone Saturday, because there are a number of teams on here. Where
someone?
Like,
someone?
Someone. Someone. Just someone. Or somebody. Whichever you prefer. Hmm. Just because there are a number of teams on the slate, a number of matchups on the slate, where you're like, okay, Oklahoma State looks pretty good, but let's see what they look like when they, you know, when they play somebody. Or like, Notre Dame looks solid enough, but let's see what they look like when they play somebody. Utah, looking real strong early, but let's see what they look like when they play somebody, Ty. And this weekend, for a lot of teams on this slate, it feels like a somebody Saturday.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
Why?
I don't like it. I think we can do better. This is the first one of the year. It's a very big weekend of college football. We need to put our best possible foot forward.
Southern Miss Saturday.
Not bad.
Because they have Alabama and their America's team?
They have Alabama and their America's team.
Okay.
Here's what we're going to do. We need to go through this long slate of games.
Skillet Saturday, Ty? It's your favorite rivalry.
Ooh, Skillet's not bad.
I mean, Skillet Saturday's not bad for a couple of reasons. One, it's a terrific rivalry trophy.
Yeah, the Iron Skillet, sure.
A lot of teams may be being thrown into the fire.
Into the fire, right?
Little frying. Where do you fry? You fry in a skillet.
Also, sometimes. I've also got this affliction for my cast iron skillet.
Right. Yes, you finally learned how to reverse sear via your cast iron skillet. Can we call it Skillet Saturday?
Unless we come up with something better by the end of the show.
I can look up a list of sexy adjectives if you really want me to.
Unless one of those
squirting
really,
Saturday?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
Unless some other adjective comes to mind before the end of the show. Sweet. I think Skillet Saturday is a good entry. Okay. And also, if you really want to steer into like Dana Holgorsen, you could very easily jump off into Skullet Saturday, too.
Skullet Saturday. So is that, it would work well if it was business at the beginning of the day mm-hmm. and a party at the end, but I think everything's pretty spread out.
All right. So, well, let's get into it and we can decide after we get through the slate. But right now, I think Skillet Saturday is probably the easy winner.
I'm ready.
All right. So here's what we do at the beginning of a preview show. Play the old Windows 2000 sound. Now, what does that mean? What that means...
Last time, it meant the window of opportunity.
What it means is the window of opportunity. Again, if you're a new listener, the window of opportunity is you're a college football fan, but you're also just a normal human being.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go out. You got to do normal people stuff. When can you schedule that stuff so that you're not missing maximum fun college football?
Right.
Sound like a good definition to you?
Good by me. Yeah.
I think middle of the day Eastern time is your window. I think middle of the day Eastern time is your window.
Middle of the college football day.
Middle of the college football day. Right.
Okay.
So I am naturally very drawn to some of the games later in the day, particularly Notre Dame and Georgia. I also mm-hmm. think Utah USC is very interesting.
Yep.
there's a Colorado-Arizona State game very late if you're in the market to stay up that late, because that one could be a lot of fun.
Well, it's Colorado football, so if it does get fun, it won't be until like 1:27 a.m. Eastern.
If it's up to me, I'm saying try to be home by about 5 o'clock. Go out, do what you got to do, try to be home by 5 o'clock. You would miss Michigan-Wisconsin, which I think could be an interesting game. I don't know how fun it would be to watch.
Well, there is an element to that, a literal element to Michigan-Wisconsin that could make it even less fun than the worst case for that game. I don't know if you want to... Well, we're going to start with that game, I assume.
We are, yeah.
Since it's the best nooner, weather's not going to be great.
No.
In Madison.
No.
I'm seeing winds up to 15, 16, 18 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And scattered T-storms starting a little after kickoff.
Give me that lightning radar, baby.
Could be entertaining if we have some weird windy interceptions and slipping.
Could also
sliding.
Be a weather delay. Maybe a weather delay.
Could be a weather delay. I think you have to watch the Nooners. I think that one's important enough because those two teams are intriguing on a national level to me. And the 3:30 ones, I understand you skipping. I'm not going to, because we have a duty to rock this digital booty. But I understand. I understand if you want to miss Skillet Saturday, the Skillet portion of Skillet Saturday.
Right. All right.
That's all. So I agree with you. Get home by 5, but like... maybe take 90 minutes instead of the full 5 hours off early in the college football day.
Yeah, or try to get within cell phone range so you can at least update your scoreboard to see what's going on in Michigan, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
With any amount of luck, there'll be like an 8-hour weather delay and you'll be fine.
Now, you're saying you're most interested, and I understand this, for Notre Dame, Georgia. Mm. But we should also point out Oklahoma State, Texas, 7:30.
Yep.
I believe Oregon, Stanford, it's not that great a year for Oregon, Stanford with what the Cardinal looked like the past couple of weeks. But there is a variety of football types to be seen in that primetime window. So I'm good with that.
I think later is better. Okay, let's move on to the official Week 4 prediction portion of the show.
Dan, time, help, I need picks of the week.
Week 4 is a big one. If you haven't already, please enter our week-to-week pick'em pool. It is solidverbal.com/pick'em. It's easy to get in. It does not matter if you miss a week here or there. Feel free to come and go as you please. But week-to-week, solidverbal.com/pick'em is where you can find the game. You pick 10 games. You get an update sent to your email, maybe to your phone. It's a lot of fun. Play along against Dan and I. I want to start, though, with, yes, that Michigan at Wisconsin game. It is Saturday. It is high noon. It is on Fox. And Wisconsin about a 3-point favorite here, Dan.
Yeah.
So here's where we're at. Through two games, Wisconsin has outscored its opponents 110-0.
Mm-hmm.
Our boy Jonathan Taylor, tailback, 8 total touchdowns. Jack Cohn, King Cohn, as some would say, 76% of his passes completed. And of course, the defense, what it's done goes without saying. We don't need to mention that again. All of this is very impressive. What we need to figure out now is if Wisconsin's the real deal or more a product of its competition, Dan.
Yeah, sort of like the real deal Holyfield, half of the new Sports Wars season, yes?
I mean, you said that, not me, but that's a pro's pro.
Would you be just as impressed if Wisconsin gave up a touchdown each of these past couple games? I feel like I would be. Like, you know, shutting a team out is impressive and it's a statement, but I don't think I would think any less of Wisconsin's defense if they won games like 62-7 and 53-7 or however many points they scored, right?
I mean, Notre Dame won a game 66-14 last week.
And you still have concerns about their defense, right?
Still have the same concerns about their defense, but it's still an impressive win. Yeah.
It's an impressive feat. Wisconsin, in playing, Central Michigan and USF, has played two pretty below-average offenses. USF was a nightmare in the back half of last season. Central Michigan, you can make a pretty clear case that that's the worst FBS offense from 2018.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking as strongly into the shutout thing as perhaps other people are, but again, impressive feat. Last year in this game, JTT ran well. Didn't fully matter because Alex Hornibrook was kind of a nightmare in Ann Arbor. Michigan ran all over Wisconsin. Wisconsin, pretty beat up almost all of last season. I understand everything about this line, and I am happy to go against it. I think the bye week will do Michigan wonders. I trust more of Michigan more. I trust Jack Cohn against a very good defense, not a ton. I'm not going to say LRO because I don't think the first two games were luck for Wisconsin. I just think they're coming back down to earth. I have Michigan 23-20.
Wow. Well, we are somewhat like-minded on the score. I've got 23-17, but I'm going the other direction. And I'm going to go Wisconsin here. On the Michigan side for me, I look at this team and I have a big question about whether they can get their offense going.
Yeah, I mean, if they fumble less, we're not as concerned, right? That seems
the fumbles are a huge issue.
Yeah,
a huge issue. And just go back to that Army game again. The reason the game was close was because the offense couldn't get moving. They got to find a way to fix that. Maybe they had the bye week to prepare to get their stuff together. I don't know, but that would be the key, I think, for them winning this football game. If they can, they're certainly good enough on defense to beat Wisconsin. Now, I had Michigan coming out of the Big Ten, mostly because I thought the offensive transition would go more smoothly and that they'd be further along by now.
Right.
Eventually, Dan, it's going to click. And when it does, they're going to be just fine because there's plenty of talent there. I'm just not sure it's going to happen here on the road against a mostly good football team, we could say at a minimum at this point.
Right.
If I saw anything that would make me feel more confident about their ability to move the football, I'd be all about Michigan here. Because again, I had them going to the playoff preseason. I just can't go solely on blind faith anymore. We're in week four, and certainly not against a defense that's allowing less than 1 yard per rushing attempt so far this season, albeit against substandard offenses, mind you. But this just isn't a great situation for an ailing offense, and I'm not going to go with a blind faith Michigan pick. I say Wisconsin wins at home 23-17.
Hard to win at home. Very hard to win at Camp Randall. I'm fully on board. I don't dislike your pick at all, especially I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is at best questionable, and even if he does play, because he's still been beat up, even if he does play, he's not going to be at 100%, and they do need that. They need as many of those top-level weapons as possible if what we're seeing from Wisconsin is what we will continue to see from them defensively. So I get you. I just disagree.
I had a really hard time picking this game. I actually had a hard time picking a lot of these games that we're going to go through because there are rooting interests for me on both sides. Like I know we make fun of Michigan from time to time and Jim Harbaugh is a little weird and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I really want the offense to stick. I really want to see what a Josh Gattis offense can do with this talent, but we haven't seen it yet. That's a bit disappointing. I'm sure it is for every Michigan fan out there. I hope it clicks. I would love for them to win this game, if only because I predicted they'd win the Big Ten in the preseason. I just, I can't go with it right now based on what we've seen through two games.
Ty, I will not praise you anymore. I will not, you know, solicit advertisers who will pay us at a higher rate if you are right in any of your predictions. So don't worry about it. If you're wrong about Michigan making the playoff, whatever. It's cool.
Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time on CBS.
Yeah.
Auburn Tigers at Texas A&M Aggies. Your point spread here, about 4 points in favor of Texas A&M, Dan. This was the game.
Yeah.
If memory serves, that led me to ask you on our super secret, mysterious G-chat session.
It's not mysterious. We both have Gmail email addresses and chat.
Whether or not you even enjoyed picking games.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think I do either.
I don't. It's just my least favorite part. I love all of the sounds and vocabulary that we've created around it, and that'll never change. I just, if I pick Texas A&M to win this game and they win, sure, I'm 100% right or wrong all of the time. It just doesn't, it doesn't bring me that much joy. It's my least fun part of doing this show. My most fun is connecting with you and figuring out fun storylines to pay attention to. But you are frustrated by this matchup.
I'm very frustrated. So here's my question to the Verballerhood.
Yeah.
Tweet us, send us messages on Facebook, solidverbal@gmail.com, go on the subreddit. If we decided to not pick winners and just preview games, have fun with it, would that turn people away? I'm genuinely curious.
Still did locks, still did backdoor covers, front door covers, stuff
all
like
that. Stuff. All that stuff.
Everything except for like, I have it 23-17. I don't know. Maybe we're just in a funk. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm frustrated by this game because I have no idea how I'm supposed to feel about it. I looked at the S&P Plus and Bill's projecting Auburn to win by
It's just SP Plus now, Ty.
SP Plus?
SP Plus. They lost the and, I think, because of Standard & Poor's and copyright issues.
All right. So SP Plus has Auburn winning by one. I looked at some other systems. They have A&M winning. Some have them covering easily. I think it's a close game. I don't have a great feel. I'm inclined to just take the points and move on. The only caveat for me is that this is the first true road game for the young Bo Nix, and Kyle Field should be a real test for him.
Yeah, and playing at Jerry World is a huge road test. It's just different. It's not on campus. It's not the whole world beating down on you like it is when you go to Kyle Field. So Auburn, they come back and win this game last year. They come back, I think they were down 10 nicely at home. I am not a huge fan of what Bo Nix looks like usually. He finished the Oregon game very impressively, but it's been a struggle for him this season. And generally for Auburn getting their offense going against pretty good defenses, which I think Texas A&M can be. They did a good job against Clemson on the ground defensively. They really held Travis Etienne down more so than pretty much everybody can. The problem is Kellen Mond was not great against Clemson, and he's going to be staring into an Auburn front that is Clemson-esque. Derrick Brown is beat up. I think he practiced, so he should be there, but he's not at 100%. Even worse for A&M, starting running back Jayshon Corbin is out for the season. It's tough to win at Kyle Field. We've seen teams that are clearly better than A&M go into College Station and either struggle to come out with a win or just full on not come out. We saw it from Clemson last year with the clearly better team, only win by a couple. So I have A&M 20-13 just because I'm a little bit concerned about how this Auburn offense travels.
I think that's a fair way to look at the game.
So I have A&M covering.
I have no feel, and I'm just going to take the points here.
Okay. What's intriguing to you about this game? Not necessarily the pick. What is the entertainment factor to you?
The entertainment factor for me is what I said earlier, Bo Nix on the road. First true road game, you're right. Played game one at Jerry World against Oregon, but want to see what he can do at a big, tough, loud SEC stadium.
Yeah. There are going to be, we've had a number of true freshmen succeed early this season. Bo Nix, Keaton Slovis, Sam Howell, Dylan Gabriel at UCF. I'm probably leaving out others.
No.
But they're all going to have a come back down to earth game or quarter or stretch of three games kind of thing. And Kyle Field's a tough place to be a true freshman quarterback.
Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. We've got Oregon at Stanford. Oregon's a 10-point road favorite here.
Yeah.
You may remember Stanford getting absolutely clocked last week on the road at UCF, which was 1 week after they got clocked by USC on the road.
Yeah.
The defense gave up 45 in each of those losses. Now they come back home. They're playing a better defense, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. Forgive me, Dan Rubenstein, if I do not feel great about this matchup for the Cardinal.
Okay. Well, Stanford's been a bit of a, this is a your word, a bit of a bugaboo for Oregon over the years when Oregon fans think they have a really good team and Stanford sort of ends dreams. And last year, that was a rough end of the game as an Oregon fan. The Stanford offensive line is beat up. And if the Stanford offensive line isn't in a great place, is Stanford? It feels like they live and die by that kind of thing. And they don't have the game changer at skill positions on offense outside of KJ Costello. He looked like a struggle bus coming back from injury at times last week against UCF. The Oregon defense appears to be very strong. I think they're going to get after him, do a good job of doing that against, I think it's the tackles that are beat up against Stanford. So they better get themselves into a lot of third and threes. Oregon threw the ball very well against the Stanford defense last year, like UCF did last week. I still feel like Oregon on the road is dicey. We saw the way that they jumped out to a lead, missed opportunities, and then were not able to hold on against Auburn. I think Stanford's a different cat than Auburn, but it's still a little bit worrisome. I'm going to go Oregon 27-13 here. I think they win this by a couple touchdowns. It's not as harrowing an environment as Jerry World was week one. Oregon's playing confidently. Give me the Ducks and That's that.
Yeah. I don't think Stanford can win the game. And usually my rule is if a team can't win the game, or if I don't think a team can win the game, it's not worth betting on that team to simply try and keep it close. Based on what we've seen so far, Stanford has not given me any confidence. Keaton Slovis completed almost 85% of his passes and threw for almost 400 yards on Stanford. First start as a true freshman. Last week, Dylan Gabriel completed 73% and threw for 347. Guess what? First start, true freshman again.
Yeah.
What do we think Justin Herbert's going to do? Justin Herbert's been in the system a while. He is not a true freshman. He's played in some really big games over the course of his career, some better than others. But nonetheless, this is not going to be as intimidating an environment for him as it might be for a true freshman or someone else. I think I'm all in on Oregon here. I don't care about the spread. I totally get it. I am with you. What did you say, 27-13?
27-13.
I think it's even more than that. I'll say 38-17.
There was part of me that wanted to, until the USC-BYU game, that said to myself, but what if UCF is just awesome? But what if USC just figured it out with Keaton Slovis? And then I watched USC-BYU, and I said to myself, nah, no, that's not a road I'm willing to go down right now. I think Stanford is just going to have a rough year, injury-wise and results-wise. And even if they get it turned around, Oregon doesn't feel like the right team, even though both USC and UCF have better receivers and skill talent, I think, than Oregon does.
I agree.
I agree. I think Oregon's in a good place to comfortably win.
I agree. You're defending Red Box Bowl champions.
Yes, absolutely. I'm waiting for my hat.
Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on ABC. We've got the Oklahoma State Cowboys on the road at Texas. Longhorns, a 5-point home favorite. I initially saw it at 7.
Yeah.
I believe it's come down to 5 now. Wouldn't surprise me if it went lower. I have seen some rankings that actually have this as a 2-point line on a neutral field. The problem with these early games is that it's just impossible to get a real sense for where a team is at. So again, for Texas, that's one of the better data points we have for any team in college football. And based on what we saw there with LSU scorching that Texas pass defense, I don't think it gets much easier for them against the Pokes. The Pokes actually have a better running back in Chuba Hubbard than Texas has seen all year. He's been ridiculous. We know they like to throw the football. We know they're always pretty good on offense. I'm feeling especially spicy.
I'm spicy!
And it's because of Oklahoma State's offense?
It's because of their offense. It's because they've got a really strong running game. I know there's a flip side to the argument that centers around Sam Ehlinger and probably being the best singular entity in this football game. But something about that Pokes offense against what we saw from the Texas defense in that LSU game is, I think, the matchup that can be exploited.
So it's a revenge spot for the Horns, losing the game by a couple points last year to, what do we call him, Corndog, Taylor Cornelius.
Yep.
Tylan Wallace absolutely torched UT last year in Stillwater. I rewatched, because I just scrubbed through it before the recap show, rewatched in more detail the Tulsa-Oklahoma State game, and I came away thinking two things about the Oklahoma State offense. One, well, two new things. Tylan Wallace, we already know, total dude. Chuba Hubbard, while he's already been a dude a couple times this year, should be considered on, if he's not quite on JTT's level, Jonathan Taylor tailback, in terms of that Class A excellent tier of running backs nationally, he's Class A, B, or whatever's right near it, because holy hell, that burst, especially through the second level, is completely elite. I love watching him run. The other thing is that Spencer Sanders, promising, but there's a rawness to him that I don't fully trust. Throwing way across the field for a bad pick. Throwing the ball, he floats his deep balls a little bit too much, underthrows his big receivers. So I'm not crazy about him going into Austin and winning this game. I just don't know if I fully trust the Pokes on the road at Texas, who I think looked really impressive jumping on Rice the way they did. But there was no, not that Rice is a barometer, but there was no sluggishness out of the gate after the disappointing LSU loss. So I actually have Texas winning this one. I think Sam Ehlinger lights up Oklahoma State's pass defense. Tulsa had a pretty nice day against the secondary. So I'm going to say UT takes it by 13, 34 to 21. Nice revenge spot win.
Yeah. And like I said, the flip side to my argument is Sam Ehlinger and what he could do to this Pokes defense. The Pokes defense is almost almost exactly what you'd expect. They are aggressively average. Teams are converting 47% of their third down plays against Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And that
still
ain't
early.
Great. That ain't great. Still early, but that ain't great. This is all for me a really long way of saying that I think this game's a shootout.
And what do we do?
I'm taking the points in the shootout. I'm taking Oklahoma State plus 5. I kind of like them outright. So I'm going to say Oklahoma State 42-40.
Good luck with that.
42-40.
Okay. Wow. That'll be fun, though, if that's what happens.
It'll be a ton of fun, right?
For sure. Next game.
All right. Before we go any further, we need to talk about our new friends over at Roback. Perhaps you've seen some of their viral videos out on Instagram. Maybe you've seen a Heisman Trophy winner, Baker Mayfield, or some other star athletes rocking the Roback gear. Got the cool little dog logo. Yeah, you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Solid Wife already took the hat. Can you believe it?
Does she like it?
She loves it. I don't know where it is. I can't find it.
Good for her.
She took the hat. She stole it.
Does she use the hat with the cool, it's a Rhodesian Ridgeback logo outline. Does she wear the hat when she walks the dog? Is it a double dog situation?
It is a double dog situation.
Love it. Great job.
But then she immediately hides it when we get back from the walk. I don't know where it is.
Ty, it's gone. If I've learned anything about marriage, as soon as your partner, your spouse, takes something that they want, it's just gone. It's just gone.
In the case of Roback, though, to their credit, when the wives steal it, you know it's good stuff.
Yeah. Maybe they'll send you a box of backup hats now.
Backup hats? Yeah. Send it to my work address, okay?
Please.
Roback, R-H-O-B-A-C-K. They make the most comfortable performance polos, tees, and Q-zip pullovers in the game. They went through 20 iterations, it says here?
Yes.
Holy crap. 20 iterations to find the perfect collar for their signature polos. Their wicking performance fabric is soft as a pillow. We can attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't steal the collared shirts from me now.
Absolutely not.
So, obviously, right now, tailgating season's going on. Roback's got you covered. They've got a stacked lineup of game day polos, perfect for the fall. They've got a subtle dog logo that we love.
Love the logo.
Trust us, we love the logo. They've got Q-zips, all sorts of cool stuff. As we mentioned, they shared a bunch of their products with us. We're very excited. At some point, I got to take a picture of the solid puppy wearing the bandana they sent me. They were kind enough to...
Oh, you definitely do.
I need to do that. Maybe I'll get on that after we get done recording here.
Mm-hmm.
Head on out to roback.com, R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. Use the promo code SOLID20, SOLID20, 20% off your very first order. Again, you want to check out roback.com. Use the promo code SOLID20. They make good stuff. We've had a chance to converse with some of the fine people over at Roback. They're huge fans of the Verbal. We're huge fans of the product. So we're happy that we can be out here and hopefully promote what they're doing. It's good stuff.
You know what they are? They're a rankings buster. We're going to see Sunday the rankings change pretty dramatically with all these big games. Maybe a team shoots up 11 spots.
Yeah.
These Roback polos, they're going to shoot up your rotation ranking. You will not believe how quickly it happens.
You just made that up on the fly, didn't you?
I did. I absolutely did.
That was pretty good, Dan.
Thank you.
Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, CBS. Okay. Okay. Notre Dame at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, 13.5 points the favorite.
Yeah. I'm seeing some places up to 14, couple touchdowns.
That is a big point spread for the biggest game of the weekend. Georgia's loaded. They're loaded. They're the number 3 team in the country. They're at home. So, of course, they're going to be a healthy favorite. In my opinion, I think in our opinion, Georgia is that next rung down. Maybe by themselves, below Alabama and Clemson, they're really, really, really good. They just got to beat one of those teams above them before I think we can talk seriously about putting them on that elite tier. But
talent-wise, they're there.
Yeah. That being said, I don't think Georgia is untouchable.
Okay. How might you touch Georgia?
How might I touch Georgia?
Yeah, you said they're not untouchable, so that means they're touchable. How might you touch them?
Well, Dan.
If you are, I don't know if you're Clark Lee, it's Chip, I always forget.
Chip Long.
Chip, it is. Chip Long, not Chip Lindsey, Chip Long. Chip Lindsey's in Kansas. If you're Chip Long or Clark Lee, what is your touching strat?
I think I want to try and figure out a way to get the ball to Chase Claypool.
Yep, that's a good start.
I think Chase Claypool presents a matchup disadvantage, not just for Georgia, but for a lot of teams on Notre Dame's schedule. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, it involves keeping Ian Book upright and protected, but also giving him clean lanes to throw through and finding some ways to get Claypool open. Not just on little 8-yard routes over the middle.
I was going to say, what are we talking? 7, 9?
No, we're not
maybe
talking.
Maybe go wild for a 10-yard route.
We're not talking button hooks, but we're talking deep throws. Find ways to isolate him in a 1-on-1 matchup and get him the football. I think that's where you start. Now, I don't know if they can do that, but I'm curious to see how they try here. My sense from watching Notre Dame early is that they've been holding back a lot. And I expect that we're going to see some new looks, some different concepts. I think some of their success will hinge on whether or not they can develop a running game in this particular matchup, because we haven't seen that so far. We've seen flashes. But establishing a running back outside Ian Book, I think will make Ian Book a better passer and maybe open up some of those deep balls. So that's what I'm hoping for as a Notre Dame fan. Now, on the flip side, what really worries me, if I'm Georgia looking to touch Notre Dame, very awkward way of phrasing it, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But if I've said this once, I'll say it 1,000 more times. I think Georgia can just run it every play. And I think there's a real matchup Georgia can exploit with Notre Dame's linebackers. It is by far the shakiest part of that Irish defense. In the game against Louisville, they were out of position, just not good. Louisville was running up the middle, and these guys were out of position. They're running directly at you, and they're over-pursuing.
It's game one, awkward first date.
Awkward first date, game one. They need to get better, though, as a linebacking core before I'm more comfortable picking them in a big spot like this. So that's where I stand on this game. Where do you come down?
So you're seeing it as a Georgia should just be Herb Brooks. That's his name from the 1980 U.S. hockey team.
That is correct.
Again! Again! Yeah. Again! We don't have that sound ready,
We should get that sound, actually.
Okay. It applies to a lot of, especially when we recap games, when teams just keep doing something over and over to just murder a team.
I think DeAndre Swift and Zamir White would be my formula for winning. And Jake Fromm, over the top, a couple play action passes. He's already established a rapport with some of the new receivers this year. I think that's enough to get it done on offense.
So maybe it'll happen that Ian Book is able to succeed. I'm not even talking deep. I'm saying second level over the linebackers, intermediate passing. Maybe it'll happen against a very good team for the first time. We just haven't seen it.
No.
He was good against what I assume Stanford and Virginia Tech and Syracuse last year. Those were the ranked teams during the season where Notre Dame's offense had a good deal of success. But as we've seen once when they took on Clemson, less success. And Georgia is similarly talented to Clemson if they don't have the results, obviously. So if we are going to see Notre Dame win, they're going to need that. They're going to need to stretch the defense. They're going to need to keep two high safeties for Georgia to set up their running game. What is it? Tony Jones should be the dude for Notre Dame?
Tony Jones Jr., yeah.
I have Georgia winning this game. I go back and forth on how comfortably. I don't love what Notre Dame looks like with what they lost up front on defense. I think the replacements just aren't there yet. I think Notre Dame covers this spread. Two touchdowns is too many points. I know Kirby and the Dogs have been just nothing short of outstanding in Athens, but the 2019 Georgia team with two new coordinators, still a bit of a mystery against Notre Dame at the very least, is pretty good. They've played lights out at home. I have it 27-20 Georgia. I think Notre Dame puts up a good amount of fight. Ian Book, for all I say about him not being great downfield, still extremely accurate, can use his legs to stretch out drives. I think they keep it close enough. This is still a Notre Dame team that made the playoff last year, not accidentally, 27-20.
You know my shtick. My shtick is going to be Georgia 31, Notre Dame 14.
What do you actually think, though?
I think games like this tend to be very close and very conservatively called.
Yeah.
If you think back a couple years to when Georgia went to South Bend, Indiana.
Jake Fromm's coming out party, yeah.
Jake Fromm's coming out party, granted, his first start as a freshman. So Kirby Smart had good reason to maybe call that one a little bit more conservatively.
Definitely.
But I think this game trends in that direction as well.
Yeah.
So though I'm going to formally pick 31-14, I can absolutely
see
it.
Behind the scenes to the Rotary Club.
At the Rotary Club podium,
yeah,
I would say that I could absolutely see a path for this one to be something like 23-20.
Okay. So this is, you're getting a peek into the mind of Ty.
Again, I can't formally pick the game because I am calling it for CBS.
Absolutely, you are. Where are you watching it, by the way?
I'm not sure yet. I'd like to watch with Mama H, but...
Does the Mama H Notre Dame experience, I assume it's better than not watching with Mama H because she's your mom and you're both fans of Notre Dame, but that the stress level you feel must be heightened by her own stress level.
No, we feed off each other. And
that's what I'm going to say.
Many more F-bombs.
It's a codependency.
You're accustomed to hearing on this show.
Right. Okay. Get some meatballs going.
You know, we'll figure something out.
That'd be great.
But I'm not sure what I'm doing yet. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Friday, 9 p.m. FS1.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah Utes on the road at USC. Utah, 4-point road favorite. I really like Utah's defensive line here. And
as you should.
I think they changed the rhythm of the game. I know you and I are both of the mindset that USC's offensive line is better. But
in pass protection, for sure.
In pass protection. But Utah is, I think, a class above what USC is going to see otherwise this season. Yeah. I am very curious to see how USC could then use the air raid to try and counteract that front. If Keaton Slovis, if he can go out there and make good, quick decisions with the football,
yeah,
USC has the talent to have a shot in this game. It's just that Utah is really good at turning teams over so far. And given the state of USC, where they're at, who knows where they're at emotionally, mentally, physically after that tough game last week on the road at BYU, I am skeptical here that they can deliver against Utah, even though they're at home.
For what it's worth, I believe Wazoo, another air raid team, the air raid team in the Pac-12, beat Utah last second, last few minutes, and that was in Pullman.
Yeah,
so Utah, right, in a pretty good position, held down Wazoo points-wise pretty admirably, and their quarterback has more experiences here in Tyler Huntley. He lit up USC last year, arguably the performance of his career in Salt Lake City last year. And I think they scored at least 40 points against this SC defense, which I don't think is as good as it was last year. Early returns, I'm not crazy about the linebackers this year. And what we saw from BYU last week against USC is they said, all right, Keaton Slovis, we're going to drop 8 dudes, pick us apart. Find the holes in the zone, you know, have the confidence to go downfield over the zone. Do what you can do. And he didn't. And Utah's defensive line, which they'll be happy to rush 3 or 4 and just leave it at that, is better than BYU's. They will get home a lot more often than BYU's. So this could potentially get pretty ugly. The fact that it's in LA has me from saying it's going to go ugly. The fact that it is a short week, even though Utah had Idaho State last week. And I think when Wazoo hosted USC with the short week a couple years ago, Wazoo had or USC had somebody real. They had Cal or Stanford the week before, which is a lot more difficult than Idaho State in turning around for a short week road game. So I don't think it's going to be destruction, but there's not a lot I like about USC matchup-wise in this game. So in LA, Friday night traffic, by the way, I think a 6 p.m. local.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a full Coliseum. And if I've learned anything from, you know, hearing from USC fans via our inbox or friends of mine, they're not rooting for USC.
No.
They want Helton gone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not going to be it's not going to be a hornet's nest, Ty, in the Coliseum.
No.
I have Utah 33-24 Friday night.
Yeah, I went back and forth in this one, but I think Utah wins the game, so I'm going to pick them and lay the points. Again, that BYU game, I am curious to see. A common opponent. I'm very curious to see if it has a lasting effect on USC, because honestly, that maybe better than anything is a barometer for where the coaching staff is at and their ability to be effective, to motivate players in the face of a really tough situation. That was a heartbreaker to lose the way they did last week. Can Clay Helton rally the troops? Can he get them back up off the mat and take a swing at Utah? I'm with you. I'm going Utah. I thought about locking this one up. I have two off-the-radar games that I'm going to lock up a little bit later, but I think we are in agreement here that Utah wins and covers.
Is it a heartbreaker? USC did everything they could to give that game away.
It's a heartbreaker when you lose a game and the opposing team rushes the field.
Sure. The thing with last week, the BYU game, is there an element of, we have Utah, Washington, and Notre Dame coming up, Oregon later on in the season, and we can't beat BYU.
Mm-hmm.
What are we even doing? Our pets' heads are falling off. Is that thought meandering through the locker room? I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. USC certainly talented to beat a number of teams on this schedule. We'll see.
We've got a bunch of other games that we need to run through very quickly. Are you ready?
Yeah. Let me stretch and not bite my tongue full of shards of cough drop. I'm ready.
Saturday, high noon ESPN, Tennessee at Florida. Florida with their backup quarterback, a 14-point favorite here, Dan. Who you got?
Well, BYU has at least shown themselves to be not a fluky, crazy bad team that upset Tennessee. So I've upgraded Tennessee a little bit. I have 28-17 Florida. Tennessee covers. The separation factor of Kyle Trask leading this Florida team with a week as the starter, I don't love.
I've never been a huge Felipe Franks fan as a quarterback. So,
but as a person, as an astronaut, as what?
As a person, I'm sure he's fine. Seems like a hardworking kid.
Yeah.
But he has been very hot and very cold.
Yeah, I think he's
as a quarterback. He's gotten better. But what I'm saying is bringing in Kyle Trask is not something that scares me. I can't go with Tennessee after what we've seen out of them so far this season. Florida could start a scarecrow at quarterback, and I think I'd still take them here to win and cover the point spread at
home.
You'd
give those points?
Okay. Yeah, I'm giving the points. Florida wins 37 to 18, 19.
They won this game by 26 last year with Felipe Franks.
Yeah.
And Felipe Franks he wasn't super accurate, but he went downfield very well. He was good.
Saturday, 3:30 on ABC or ESPN2, depending where you're at. UCF at the Pitt Panthers. Point spread here is in favor of UCF. They are a 12-point road favorite. Is this a double-decker open-faced letdown sandwich here?
I think so, Ty. I don't know if we have a specific sound for that.
I mean, we only have one sound that we can play.
Sandwich. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry.
Oh, boy.
It's a little bit of a creative interpretation of that sound, but
yeah.
Of course, we have UCF. We have Pitt both coming off big games. Now they're playing each other. UCF on the road. This is a big point spread. I don't know. What do you think?
So, yes, I think you're right. But there's a letdown for Pitt after coming close to Penn State, really coming down to the goal line situations. Could be a Stanford body blow, even though the offensive line wasn't what it was last week against UCF. The true freshman on the road thing, a little bit concerned. Now, obviously, UCF just laid the lumber against Pitt last year down south. Pitt's defense is pretty feisty. As we saw last week, Penn State, when they get going offensively, even though you have your own questions, there's speed, there's talent. They can generate points when they get going. And I thought Pitt did a nice job, especially against Sean Clifford in the passing game. I actually have UCF winning, but I think Pitt keeps this one close.
I think I agree with you. I agree with you.
It'd be very easy to look at last week and say, man, this UCF offense is a machine, and I think it will be. But I think Pitt can hang defensively for a good chunk of this game. I have it Knights 28-20.
I think the Knights win. I'll say a little bit of a higher
score. Also have a really good defense, by the way. UCF, real fun defense.
Even if it's like 31-21, Pitt still covers at home.
Right.
And don't forget, Kenny Pickett was pretty good against a good defense last week against Penn State on the road.
Yeah.
They turned to him a lot, But he looked really good in that football game. He was the better of the two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier going up against UCF. Who knows what state they'll be in after a big win at home last week over Stanford. Yeah. I'm with you. I think UCF's the better team, but I'll say like 31-21. I think Pitt keeps it close and interesting.
They weren't exactly the same on the road last year, but you know what? Few teams are.
All right. Saturday, 3:30, also on ABC or ESPN2, depending on your location.
Reverse mirror.
Washington at BYU. Washington's 6-point road favorite. I am going Huskies here. Huge win for BYU last week over a traditional blue blood. Again, the fans are out on the field. Kalani Sitake's all fired up.
You have Tennessee and USC in back-to-back weeks for BYU. Overtime thrillers.
Three is pushing it, though. Three weeks in a row. So give me Washington to win in the Cloud City of Provo. 34-17.
That is literally what I have down here, Todd.
Really?
This is really, listen. 34-17. Washington had a pretty easy time with BYU last year. Certainly a more experienced quarterback for the Huskies, but I like what Washington looked like last week against Hawaii. Certainly a worse defense than what BYU puts out on the field. But yeah, I think it's close at halftime and Washington has a nice victory pace for them end of the third and fourth quarter.
Saturday, 10 p.m., Pac-12 Network, Colorado at ASU. ASU, 7.5-point home favorite here. I am all in on Colorado.
Why?
ASU, big, ugly road win.
Body blow potential.
Yeah, body blow potential. Colorado, as we've said time and again here, don't really have the defense for primetime, but they're going to score points and probably be feisty every week. So I don't really know who wins this game. I could definitely chart a course for Colorado. I'll say ASU at home, even though I hate their offensive line. Something ugly like 24-20, but Colorado definitely keeps this one close and covers.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's just going to be close. I think, you know, the combination of ASU struggling up front, Colorado struggling up front on defense. I think we're going to have a bit of a shootout situation. Something like, I don't know, 38-35.
All right. I got 7 games left. I want to go rapid fire real quick.
Double
rapid fire. Saturday, right. High noon, ABC, Michigan State at Northwestern. Spartans, a 9-point road favorite, Dan.
Yeah, they haven't been great against Northwestern lately, but I think Michigan State is going to finish more drives this week against Northwestern team that offensively is in rough shape. So, yeah, I think Sparty wins this by 10.
I'm not sure Michigan State can score 9. That's my problem with taking Michigan State minus 9. So I'm going to go Northwestern at home plus the 9.
Yeah, good defense at home. Not a tough place to play, but yes.
Cal at Ole Miss, Saturday, high noon, ESPNU. Ole Miss, a 2-point home favorite. I love Ole Miss here.
Why?
Cal's got a pretty good defense.
Got a really good defense.
Really good defense, but I am very skeptical about what they can do on offense, and I think on some level you got to score to beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, I have this one at like... I think Ole Miss' defense has improved. Obviously, Mike McIntyre and Justin Wilcox familiar with each other from their Pac-12 days. I have Ole Miss winning this one 17-13. And just Cal playing an amazing defensive game, but just not getting enough from the offense. So,
Saturday, 3:30 ESPN, Louisville. At Florida State, the Noles, 7-point home favorite. They did look better last week, just not the full way through.
Okay.
But they look better.
Full way through is sort of a big deal.
Full way through is important.
Yeah.
But through three quarters anyway, look better.
Yeah.
I think they win at home. I think they cover. Louisville's going to put up a fight, though. They've been feisty thus far. But I'm going to go State here.
Yeah, Louisville's going to be better. I think I'm going to go Florida State here as well. It's at home. They were able to move the ball more consistently. So, yeah, Louisville's a little ways away. Give me Florida State late.
Saturday, 4 p.m. SEC Network, South Carolina at Mizzou. Mm-hmm. Mizzou, a 9.5-point favorite, which is a big line. I think that's pretty high. If it were 7, yeah, I would feel better about it, but it does feel like a 10 to 14-ish point win for Mizzou, if you ask me. So I will take the Tigers at home.
Yeah, I think Mizzou runs all over them. I think they won by a couple touchdowns.
Saturday, 4 p.m., also on SEC Network, we've got Kentucky at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is 7-point favorite. I'm on Mississippi State here. I actually like them a lot in this matchup.
I am too. And I hate that I am. Supposedly Tommy Stevens feeling better than he was before last week's game. I think they fixed those mistakes. They had some dumb mistakes against Kansas State. They should be able to throw. If the receivers stop dropping balls, Mississippi State should be able to have success downfield. So, yeah, I'm going Clanga here.
Late night, Saturday, 10:30 on CBS Sports Network. Utah State at San Diego State. Home dog of the week for me.
The Yakos. Home dog of the week.
I think they're the better football team. You chastised me for taking them a couple weeks ago, and I have not forgotten that. So,
right,
give me State at home plus the four. They win outright over Utah State.
We're Wake Forest fans here on this show, and Utah State damn near beat them. I'm taking Utah State. San Diego State, you're big on, like, how many points does San Diego State need to score to win this game, or how many to stay with Utah State? And it's, I don't like the State offense at all, or the San Diego State offense at all. Give me Utah State. I'll take the Aggies here to win by a touchdown.
And finally, Saturday, 10:30 ESPN. Pac-12 after dark. We've got UCLA at Washington State. Washington State, 18.5 points, the home favorite. Are you or are you not going anywhere near UCLA right now?
No, UCLA scores 14 and precisely 14 points only, as they have these first 3 weeks of the season. Wazoo is a bit of a question up front stopping the run, but I don't think UCLA is the answer. So I like Wazoo big here.
Wazoo big. All right. So my two locks, again, way off the radar.
Lock of the week.
Lock number one is Boston College -7 against Rutgers.
Okay. Now, quick reminder about Boston College's last week.
I know.
Okay.
You don't have to remind me.
Okay. Next.
Lock number two.
Lock of the week.
West Virginia on the road -5 here over the Kansas Jayhawks. Yeah.
Does it seem like a weird line, though?
It's a
with West Virginia looking impressive against NC State?
Very weird line to me. I hate
and
the
you're
line.
You're not leaning into it?
No. I'm not leaning into Kansas.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to lock up the Utes of Utah and Andy Ludwig. I hate that I'm doing it, but here we are.
I like that pick too. I thought about doing it.
It's the insider knowledge of it getting to downtown LA at 6 for a 6:00 kickoff on a Friday night. It's going to be an empty stadium. There's three others real quick, by the way. Friday night, we also get Air Force Boise.
Oh,
which
right.
Air Force just beat Colorado. Boise, we'll see. They look pretty strong early. Southern Miss and Bama. If not the other reason, Southern Miss can throw the ball. So we'll see what Bama's secondary looks like. And I would say their first real test. They're going to win this game easily. And then the Iron Skillet, Ty. TCU, SMU. Who do you have?
TCU, baby. Got to go TCU. You know that.
Okay, fair enough. On Skillet Saturday, we had to pick TCU, SMU. I disagree. I think SMU is going to win in a shootout. No, not in a, they're just going to win. It's not. I don't think TCU can score a ton of points. Real quick, before we finish, though, also, will you drop that big, stanky, taut, tender, tormenting Drummond Fife?
Oh, baby. Okay, what do we got here?
Black Bears of Maine against the Gators of Colgate. Maine, they were pretty good last year. I'm going to go with Maine here. Down year for the Gators.
Maine has the worst bear mascot, bear illustration among any bear-named teams in college football. Go and look at it. It looks like a mutant cat of some sort. So I'm going to go Colgate here. Got to go Colgate.
All I know is I had calorie for calorie, one of the best vacations of my life in Maine. So now I'm in. The Crusaders of Holy Cross at Yale. You can find it on ESPN Plus.
On ESPN Plus, I'm going to go with the Yaleys here.
I'm going to go Crusaders. Gordy Fickbaum, come on. Lafayette. Albany.
I'm going Yetis here.
Hell yeah, you are. Hell yeah, you are. Fordham leaving the friendly confines of the Bronx, traveling to Stony Brook.
Where is Stony Brook?
I wanted to say, oh man, where is Stony Brook? I wanted to say Staten Island, but I think I'm confusing that with another school. Stony Brook is in Stony Brook, New York.
Okay, literally.
It is literally Stony Brook is in Stony Brook. Would you like to know where Stony Brook, New York is? Do you want to do a quick little geography lesson?
I would say...
I'm zooming out. Long Island, Ty.
Yeah, okay.
Long Island. Long Island. And my final question to you is, because you mentioned that the Yale game is on ESPN+, you saw that NFL prime time.
Yeah, that was a good rendition, Dan. Thank you.
That's your show.
Right.
You sent in nicknames to that show.
I may have sent in, you remember RJ Soward?
Of course. UCLA great.
I may have sent in to Chris
Berman.
Excuse
me, USC. That was insulting.
I may have sent in to Chris Berman via snail mail back in the day that he should adopt the name RJ Sweeten Soured.
Did he accept it?
Well, he started using it. I don't know if he ever credited me with it.
So did you just send the letter ESPN CC, or not CC, but attention Chris Berman?
I sent it to some random inbox up there in
Prime
Bristol.
Time.
Yeah. Snail mail back in the day. Said you should consider using RJ Sweet and Sour. He started using it.
I think it's you. I think you're the reason, to quote Hoobastank. Where can people find the show? And how often are we doing this show? What do we call our specialty show that we've added this year? Reset us, Ty.
Well, Dan, I was hoping you would ask that question. Thank you so much for setting me up. We are the Solid Verbal. Please subscribe on Apple, on Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, wherever you listen to the show, wherever you like to listen to podcasts on the whole, you can subscribe to us and listen to our three, that's right, count them, 1, 2, 3 shows a week. What we do is a Thursday preview show, a Sunday recap show, and then on Tuesday, a bit of a novelty show that we're still workshopping.
Yeah.
We started just doing a show where we wanted to talk about big picture college football stuff, because the thinking is, on the Thursday show, when we preview all the games, we don't have time to get into news and what it means in the big picture, and certainly not on the recap show when we're going through 60-some-odd games a week. We can't really get into the weeds and talk about the totem poles. You know, like, where do teams now stack up after these results? That's where our Tuesday show comes in.
Stack up. Did you do that intentionally?
I might have.
Wow. Total pro.
I might have.
Yeah.
But that's where the Tuesday show comes in. We've taken to calling it the Tues Cruise.
Yeah.
And we've really started steering into it over the last week and a half, I would say. Everything is nautically themed at this point.
Would you say at least 30% of why we added the Tuesday show is to come up with a theme and up our production game? Sounds wise.
I think it's at least 30%. I was going to say at least 50%.
Yeah, okay. Okay, same page.
This has less to do with college football and more to do with me and you screwing around.
Audio vanity.
That's exactly what this is.
Okay.
But we have fun with it.
Yeah.
You can subscribe. You can listen. So far, the reviews have been very positive. We haven't lost a single download.
Mm-mm.
And we're pretty excited about it. So check us out. 3 shows a week if you like college football. Think you'll like the Tues Cruise. Also, as you're watching on Saturday, wherever you may be, call us at 408-VERBAL-1. It's 408-837-2251. We cut up your voice messages. It rings like 85 times. I have not figured out a way to reduce the number of rings. Everyone calling is trying to get to the voicemail inbox. It just rings like crazy. I can't figure out a way to reduce the number of rings. But nonetheless, if you wait, the payoff at the end is that eventually you get to the voicemail inbox. You can leave us a message. We call them reverbs. We mix them up, put them together, and roll them out on our Sunday show. I think that's all I got. I don't know. Did I miss anything?
I'm flat out.
All right. Well, again, don't forget to check out our good friends over at Roback, R-H-O-B-A-C-K, solid 20. S-O-L-I-D 20 is the promo code for 20% off your first order. I think you'll be very happy with the product. I know Dan and I are.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, then, while you're waiting for your Roback order, while you're waiting for college football to get here on Saturday, to no doubt come to its climactic conclusion, we do hope all of you enjoy your tailgating, enjoy your weekend, enjoy the rest of your week. We will be back with you, I guess, Sunday afternoon, right?
Yeah, absolutely we will.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt, we'll talk to y'all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace!
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.